Oh, to texting. Of course, the thing is, if I would text that to Jamie, she'd go, sure, it was AT&T's fault. Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? You know, I just absolutely love him, Bob Smiley. I don't know if you've ever gone out on the web and looked at his some of his clips, I guess you would call them. He is just a riot. I mean, I look at him and I start laughing. But his energy and timing, his stage presence, he's just amazing on taking everyday stuff and making it so funny. But I thought it would be a great way to kick off his our teaching series, Can't We All Just Get Along? Can't we all just get along? And today we're going to start with the sermon, Life Is All About. Now, you probably all know where I'm going with this, right? Life is all about relationships, right? I mean, I can't think of really anything in my life that doesn't deal with relationships in some manner or means. And as we kick this off, what are some of the relationships that you have in your life? Just shout them out. Children. Spouse. What was that? Marriage, okay. Spouse. Parents. Work. So like workmates. Okay, those relationships. Did I hear friends? Okay. Classmates. Would those be in the friends, acquaintances kind of thing? Anything else? Say it again. Family, extended family, yeah. Church family. Jesus, excellent. Okay, yeah, all good. These are just some things that I was thinking of which I need to add some of the things that you said to the list. Someone mentioned in first service grandchildren, and I'm like, why didn't I put that down? But spouses, hopefully you just have one. Spouse, friend, acquaintance, and I'm thinking a friend here is a special friend. I'm not just thinking of Facebook friends that, you know, maybe you know their name and that's about all you know about them. I'm talking about a friend, a real friend, versus an acquaintance, workmate, business relationship, right? Those are people that, because of business, you have to have a relationship with them, right? Church family, parent-child, child-parent. Boss, employee, employee, boss. How about in-laws? I should have capitalized that. Neighbors? How about neighbors? Anything else that you can think of? Just about every facet of our life deals with relationship, doesn't it? I mean, it can be the mountaintop experience of your life, but it can also be the deepest valley that you've ever experienced, can't it? There are many stories about people who get into fights and conflicts about crazy things and terrible results. And here's just some examples. I pulled out some really bad ones. In Orlando, a 48-year-old man was shot to death by his wife after a fight over the satellite TV controls. Obviously, she didn't read the directions that it was the man's responsibility. Where's Jamie? I thought I'd get a rise out of Jamie on that one. I'm not making fun of the death, but I did think it was interesting because they say in those directions to the satellites, don't they say that it's the man's responsibility to control the remote? You're not I'm not dragging you in. All right. Moving on. In California, a woman was stabbed to death by her boyfriend because she brought home a McDonald's ham and egg and cheese bagel instead of two egg muffins that he'd asked for. In Dallas, a 37-year-old man was beaten to death by his roommate after a fight over the thermostat setting in their house. Now, that really seems far-fetched, but you know what? When Jamie was pregnant, I could understand that. Because I had icicles hanging off my nose while she was pregnant. She liked the house so cold. No. In Maryland, a 15-year-old boy, he was charged in the shooting death of a man who was playing reggae music on his car stereo. I know I chose the most extreme cases, but even in our more normal situations of our life, right? It can be difficult to maintain positive relationships with others, can't it? As Christians, we have at times, we will have times of conflict with a neighbor who seems unbearable, with an employer or a customer or health insurance person, as we've learned in the last several weeks, or government official who seems overly demanding or unfair. Sometimes with a relative or a fellow Christian or even at one church to another. The answer to handling these types of problems, however, is not revenge or hostility or avoidance of the problem. But what does the Bible tell us about relationships and how to respond to those issues with our relationships? In Romans 12, the Bible tells us that we are to do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. So our need and goal should be to know how to build better relationships. And I believe the passage that we're going to talk about, the passage of Scripture that we're going to talk about this morning, can help us in that goal, because in it we find four principles for building better relationships. I invite you to grab the back of your bulletin and grab a pen or a pencil and write these down. I apologize, I didn't put anything in the bulletin to write on. Four principles for building better relationships. So we're beginning this teaching series, Can't We All Just Get Along? And this is kind of an all-encompassing type sermon as we look at many different types of relationships that we have in our life. So, if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. I don't have these up on the board, so if you would get your Bibles out or your phone, get Genesis up on your phone or iPad, whatever you have this morning. Now, this is part of the story of Abraham and King Abimelech when Abraham and his people were squatting on Abimelech's land. Okay? All right. So, we're just going to take it verse by verse here this morning. And I want to begin in Genesis 21 with verse 22. Verse 22. I'm going to try to fill in the blanks for you as we move on down here today. So, Genesis 21, verse 22. Verse 22 tells us, at that time, Abimelech, with Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. So Abimelech has recognized the presence of God in Abraham's life. And just to kind of fill in the blanks, a few chapters earlier, Abraham and Abimelech had a prior relationship that was anything but positive. And I'll tell you the details as we go along here. But they each went their separate ways. And nevertheless, it became obvious to Abimelech that something more needed to be done because, as he said to Abraham, God is with you in everything you do. God's promised favor is upon Abraham, and therefore his entourage was growing. Abraham was acquiring more livestock and more people, and therefore he would soon need even more area to support them, and the only available pasture would be Abimelech's territory. So are you picturing this? We have Abraham who is living on land that is not his. And Abraham has hundreds, maybe thousands of people that are living with him. Okay? Not only that, he has livestock that they are living off of. And so, now, I can't even imagine this, but this is what they did. Abraham would move on to people's land and squat, essentially, is what we would call it today, right? But can you imagine all of that space that they would need? And it was King Abimelech's space, his land. All right, so just kind of picture that in your mind. And so Abimelech rightly assumed that there was going to be potential conflict in this situation. And he probably might have been even thinking it might be with him, right? And so he takes the initiative in resolving this problem before it starts. And in essence, he comes to Abraham and he says, let's come to an agreement and an understanding before this gets out of hand. In this act, he reveals the first principle of building better relationships. And that principle, the first principle, is be proactive in avoiding future conflicts. Be proactive in avoiding future conflicts. Now, most people are reactive. That is, in other words, they wait for conflict to come around, to manifest itself, and maybe even intensify, right? Depends on your personality, quite honestly, before they do anything to try and resolve it. Am I speaking out of tune there? Yeah. We have a tendency to wait, don't we? And in our minds, we know, we're saying, something's not right here, right? Whatever the situation may be. And we wait for something to happen instead of trying to be proactive in taking care of it and avoiding those conflicts. So principle one, be proactive in avoiding future conflicts. We need to use godly wisdom to see potential conflicts and respond accordingly. So let's just say that together just so we can kind of get it in our minds. Be proactive in avoiding future conflicts. This is true when dealing with a spouse, with neighbors, with employers, or anyone else, quite honestly. It's much easier to avoid problems than it is to solve them at a later date after they've happened or after they've blown up into something that was just really nothing, no big deal in the beginning. All right, so let's move on. Verse 23. So Abimelech just said, God is with you in all that you do, Abraham. Now therefore swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my offspring or with my posterity, but as I have dealt loyally with you, you will deal with me and with the land where you have resided as an alien. And Abraham said, I swear it. So here Abimelech seeks to enter into a covenant relationship with Abraham. Come on, Eric. Sorry, my mouth's not working. Follow my brain for some reason. So Abimelech seeks to enter into a covenant relationship with Abraham. Now just think about this. Abraham is squatting on Abimelech's land. And yet it's Abimelech that wants to enter into a covenant relationship with Abraham. This is interesting stuff here. This was the typical way in ancient times that people and nations avoided conflict. All right? He asked Abraham for such an agreement, which is not unusual, but he also adds one unusual phrase to the wording of the agreement when he says, swear. Swear that you will not deal falsely with me or my children or my descendants. Now, why would Abimelech use this phrase? Remember I talked about that past experience? Are you curious what that past experience was? Well, you see, Abraham was deceitful the first time that they met about he and Sarah's, his wife's, relationship. Now, see, when there was a cost for living on this land, and many times kings would require your women. All right? And so Abraham goes on to this land, and Abimelech sees Sarah, his wife, who was exceedingly beautiful, and he decided he wanted Abraham's wife. And does anyone know what Abraham told Abimelech Sarah's relationship was with him? Abraham says, sure, here's my sister. Here's my sister. Now, was that because of fear of the king? Was it because of fear he didn't want all the people in his entourage to be killed that night? Who knows why this man of God would do this? But Abraham claimed that Sarah was his sister rather than his wife. Now, before anything bad could happen, God stepped in and talked to Abimelech, because he was morally sound and he knows the consequences if he would have taken a wife that was not his. So Abraham claimed that Sarah was his sister, but because of God's words to Abimelech, he recognizes that dishonesty can be a source of conflict in the future, because Abraham has already proven that he cannot be trusted. And this leads to principle number two of building better relationships, and that is to deal honestly with others. Deal honestly with others. In Ephesians 4:25, we are told to put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Now, the context of our Ephesians scripture this morning, which this comes at the tail end, it deals with unity, and it is showing us how dishonesty spoils positive relationships. Can I get an amen for that? Dishonesty spoils relationships. Folks, it doesn't matter if this is husband and wife. It doesn't matter if this is friend to friend. It doesn't matter if this is parent to child or child to parent. It does not matter. Dishonesty spoils relationships. And Abimelech could never have a positive relationship with Abraham until he was sure that he could trust him. And this could only happen if Abraham was honest from this point forward. So, let's read this together. Deal honestly with others. You see, in practice, this means being honest but kind about our feelings, about situations, about our likes and dislikes, etc., etc. In addition to his request for honesty from Abraham, Abimelech reminds Abraham of the kindness that he had shown him, even though he was living as an alien on his land. In essence, he's saying, when I had the upper hand, and I did not take advantage of your situation, so you should do the same for me, Abraham. You see, your acts of kindness in the past can be very rewarding in the future. There are people that talk about this kind of like a bank account. Maybe you've heard of it. Every time you're nice to someone, you deposit money in their bank account. Right? And so you're nice to them and you continue depositing. And then when something happens and maybe you weren't so nice, money comes out of that bank account. You see what I'm saying? So whenever you have a relationship, you are depositing into that relationship. And the thing is, what happens when your bank account is dry, folks? So here we go. Let's read these together. The first two principles: be proactive in avoiding future conflicts and deal honestly with others. All right, verse 25. What do we have in verse 25? When Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, well, that's really hard to say that many times in a row. I do not know who has done this. So did you follow that? Abraham was complaining to Abimelech about a well that his servants had seized. Now, this opens up principle number three. Principle number three is to be open about problems. Be open about problems. You see, there are a few things of more importance than water in the Middle East. If you haven't been there, well, if you've been there, you know better than myself and probably a lot of people here. However, if you haven't been there, you can still see how dry it is on the news and wherever else you might see the land of the Middle East. So many serious disputes over the years and even currently rise over the rights to water, the rights to clean water. Abraham could have just kept quiet and kept the peace, but in reality, well, the reality is that he needed that well. He needed that well. And if he didn't say something now, it would only worsen this conflict because it was obvious Abimelech didn't trust Abraham. For good reason, right? Now, it is good to overlook offenses. All of us have probably overlooked offenses of friends and acquaintances, as the Bible tells us in Proverbs 19. But if the problem is serious or ongoing, then we are instructed in Matthew, right, to go to our brother, to point out the offense in Matthew 18. Sometimes problems and conflicts are made much worse by not being open about the problems with the person who has offended us. We may talk to everyone else, but not to them. Anyone ever had that issue? Maybe not been the talker, but been the one that had been done unto, right? Often in our efforts to keep the peace, we make things worse by not speaking up or by speaking to 10 other people first. It's true at work, where we may not be up front about issues that are bugging us. This may be the case with a neighbor. When we're not open about a serious, divisive issue, or maybe in the church, when we're not sharing our real concerns in an appropriate manner. It is easy for people to deceive themselves into thinking that if they ignore a problem long enough, right, it's going to just go away. Unfortunately, problems rarely, if ever, disappear. The longer we ignore them, what happens? The worse it gets. Now, in my experience, I don't know if it's the same with you. I would say that it probably is. I mean, it can be just a little thing that maybe just bugs you. And the more and more you hang out with that person, the more it bugs you, and the more it bugs you, and you think, oh, I just gotta figure this out, right? And it continues to bug you, and suddenly you blow up in the person's face, and they don't even understand why you're blowing up in their face. Folks, be open about problems. Be open about problems. The principle in no way excuses un-Christ-like openness. Do you hear what I'm saying? It in no way excuses unchristlike openness. We are told to approach those who have offended us, but we are to do so with love and humility and in private. So let's read this together. Principle number 3, be open about problems. All right, finally, verses 26 through 31 of Genesis 21. 26. Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today." So Abraham took sheep and sheep and oxen. That's it. My chemist is coming through there, isn't it? Sheep and oxen, and gave them to Abimelech. And the two men made a covenant. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs of the flock, and Abimelech said to Abraham, "What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs that you have set apart?" Abraham said, "These 7 ewe lambs you shall accept from my hand in order that you may be a witness for me that I dug this well." Therefore, that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So, again, keep in mind, this is Abimelech's land. And Abraham actually dug a well on it. And now Abraham is claiming rights to that well because of the lambs that he gave Abimelech. And this comes to our principle number 4. Do not make assumptions about another's knowledge of a problem. Do not make assumptions about another's knowledge of a problem. Apparently, the complaint of Abraham's about the well was worded in such a way that he assumed Abimelech knew of the problem, because Abimelech is quick to defend himself and say, "Hey, now, wait a minute. This is the first I've heard about this well thing. I don't know what you're talking about here." Sometimes we never get problems or conflicts solved or come to a mutual understanding because the offended person assumes that the offender knows of the problem. How about an amen on that one? We act as if people have a sixth sense about them. And it's, "Well, hello, why don't you know this? You know this has been bothering me." Right? We assume that people have a sixth sense about these things, and we assume that our subtle remarks and our innuendos are clear when they are not. And I can speak for men. Typically, they are not clear whatsoever. Many people do not even know that they have offended you, or if they do sense a hostility, they are really confused at why you are being so hostile toward them. It may be obvious to you, but not to the offender. So let's say this, principle number 4. Do not make assumptions about another's knowledge of a problem. At some point in our life, all of us have been guilty with this, haven't we? Yeah. We need to work to overcome our assumptions. You see, Abraham accepts Abimelech's answer and responds by entering a covenant agreement in verse 27. The animals were like a seal or a confirmation of that agreement, much like a handshake or a signature is today. Then to make sure that there were no misunderstandings concerning the ownership of the well that was in dispute, Abraham gives Abimelech 7 lambs in verses 29 and 30. This was an ancient way of making a clear pronouncement of ownership. Abimelech's acceptance acted as a witness or a testimony that Abraham had dug and therefore owned the well. Abraham is now the one being proactive in avoiding future conflicts. As was common in ancient times, the place was named after a significant event. The place was named because a significant event took place. So, here we go. Principle 1, be proactive in avoiding future conflicts. Principle number 2, deal honestly with others. Principle number 3, be open about problems. And principle number 4, do not make assumptions about another's knowledge of a problem. In the 4th century AD, Christians were attempting to escape the pagan society. There was one Christian in Rome who came up with a novel idea for escaping worldliness without leaving Rome. At the ruins of a large building, he found a freestanding 60-foot pillar. Somehow he managed to construct a ladder to get to the top and climb his way up there, and then he kicked away the ladder and saw it crumble as it hit the ground. There was no turning back now, obviously, no way of escape, and for the next 30 years, he called the top of this pillar home. How did he survive all those years on a pillar 60 feet above the ground? Well, once he climbed to the top, he took with him a rope and a bucket. On occasion, he would lower the rope with a bucket on it, and people passing by would drop food in the bucket or fill it with water, and he would pull up the rope. Believe it or not, this became somewhat of a trend among early Christians. Others began to climb to the top of abandoned pillars and take up residence, and these people began to be called pillar saints. Pillar saints. You have to respect the desire of these early Christians to escape the influence of the sinful world in order to give their full concentration to God. However, the pillar saints overlooked an essential element of spirituality, a right relationship with other people. You see, there is no true spirituality without right relationships with others. It is not God's desire that we escape the world, but that we put our efforts toward building better relationships. We can do that by applying the principles that we learned in God's Word today. Let's say these ones again. Number one, be proactive in avoiding future conflicts. Two, deal honestly with others. Be open about problems. Do not make assumptions about another's knowledge of a problem. In closing, I want to revisit the Apostle Paul's words for us this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness." Now listen. "With patience, bearing with one another in love." What does bearing seem like? How do we use that word bear? It's like you're bearing up under, aren't you? It's like almost like you're bearing people's burdens, aren't you? You're lifting, helping. "Bear with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit." Oh, wait. So we don't create the unity. Who creates the unity? The unity of the God has created the unity. Amen. So what do we do to support that? We bear with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there's one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Be proactive in avoiding future conflicts. Deal honestly with others. Be open about problems. And don't make assumptions about another's knowledge of the problem. So as we move on in our teaching series in the next few weeks about our relationships, and we won't be able to hit all of them that we have in our life, but we're going to try to cover some of the biggies in our life. Those relationships that both can be mountaintop experiences and both can be painful experiences. Amen. But this is a great way to start. Just in a general sense about all relationships, folks, be proactive in avoiding future conflicts. Deal honestly with others. Be open about problems. And do not make assumptions about another's knowledge of a problem. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you so much. We give you praise and we ask the question, Lord, can't we all just simply get along? This idea of relationship in our life is so all-encompassing. You created us, Lord. You created us for relationships. That is why they cut so personally to us, Lord, because when we're in good and healthy relationships, everything is right with the world. So God, help us learn how to create those healthy relationships. Help us put away bad habits, Lord, that have hurt those relationships in the past, God. Help us start anew. We love you, God, and we thank you for this lesson today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.